In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Today's gospel places us 6 days before the Passover at a dinner party in the home of Lazarus in Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. It's a festive dinner to celebrate Jesus' raising Lazarus from the dead. It had been a wild time, and these events are described in the chapter just prior to our gospel reading. You may know the story. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are close friends of Jesus, and Lazarus gets sick. Mary and Martha send word to Jesus asking him to come. And Jesus intentionally stays away until after Lazarus' death, knowing that he's going to restore Lazarus to life. And it's a foreshadowing of Jesus' own resurrection. But Mary and Martha are bewildered and hurt. And when Jesus does arrive, Mary kneels at his feet and weeps and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus responds by calling Lazarus forth from the tomb and raising him back to life. The dinner party celebrates this, but it's in the midst of growing tension. As a result of Jesus' display of power, people are out to arrest him. They're also plotting to have Lazarus murdered. With the upcoming Passover festival, crowds are coming into the city and people are on the lookout for Jesus. And Jesus knows that the time will soon come for him to make his final entry into Jerusalem. So this dinner is thick with all kinds of emotional layers, as family dinners often are. Joy, fear, confusion, and uncertainty as to what will happen next. Martha's serving the food. Lazarus is reclining at table. Quiet conversations probably happening, reflecting on the events of the past few weeks, reflecting on the crowds that may be coming into Jerusalem for Passover, all the kinds of conversation that happens over meals. And then in the midst of this, Mary quietly gets up, anoints Jesus' feet with a costly perfume worth about a year's salary, unbinds her hair and wipes the extra perfume off. And I imagine her getting up with a very quiet sense of focus and kneeling down, and the dinner conversation kind of dwindles to that awkward kind of halt. Maybe there's a strained silence and looks kind of exchanged around the table. What is she doing? And Judas gets hung up on the costly perfume, and everyone else holds back watching as the smell of the fragrance fills the air. What is she doing? But Jesus and Mary have a shared understanding of what's happening. Mary is the only one of Jesus' followers in the room who sees clearly that Jesus will soon go to his death. She has witnessed his power, but he is also her close friend and teacher. And so she grieves because she will lose him soon. She will lose the friendship as she understands it, and this season will end. Difficult days are ahead, even as she also holds hope. Her anointing Jesus for burial is deeply personal and yet deeply prophetic and holds so many different emotions in tension. How does Mary see so clearly? I think it's because she has allowed Jesus to meet her in her own grief and confusion, and she has found hope that allows her to weather difficult things. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had been dear friends of Jesus for a while, but that friendship hadn't been without its turmoil. Yes, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and Mary witnessed this miracle. But there had been those 4 days, those 4 long, painful days when Lazarus was dead in the tomb and Jesus was nowhere to be found and they'd asked him to come. Days when I imagine Mary's heart was not just grieving, but also wondering where the heck he was. Wondering why, as a dear friend, he had let her and her family go through this alone. And so when Jesus first arrived on that scene, Mary lamented that. At that point in time, she knelt before Jesus and asked the agonized question of, this wouldn't have happened if you had been here. And there was heartbreak and anger and honesty in her words as she wondered why events had played out the way they had. And now at this family dinner, as the scent fills the room and Mary once again kneels at Jesus' feet, Lazarus sits alive. But his miraculous resurrection had also placed his life in jeopardy as local authorities wanted to hunt him down. So Mary knew from personal experience what it was to love Jesus and also to struggle with how he did things. She understood both that the days ahead would be wrenching, that she would lose the friend that she dearly loved, and she also understood that somehow, in the midst of this turmoil, Jesus would overcome the power of death. From her own journey, she is able to see what the others cannot see. She is able to express her love, her grief, her faith, and her hope in gestures that point to the bigger picture and that express the truth of what is to come. We've arrived at the 5th Sunday in Lent, right on the cusp of Holy Week. On Ash Wednesday, we began with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And we were reminded that all of our days are numbered, and that life is so very precious. As Mary anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair, being unapologetically tender, she lived into the very core of this truth by offering her presence and her love. Despite the fear that swirled around her with plots on Jesus' and Lazarus' lives well underway, despite Judas's words of contempt, she trusts her own spiritual journey with Jesus. She knows who Jesus is, and she points the way forward into the truth of what will come. She embodies and calls the room full of dinner guests to the sustaining power of self-giving love and the hope of resurrection. Before Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, and before he himself tells them to love one another as I have loved you on Maundy Thursday, Mary does this first. What does it take to have the kind of love and strength that Mary of Bethany had? These were qualities in her that were hard won by life experience. In the face of loss, she had the willingness to sit at Jesus' feet with her grief, while also choosing love and hope and trust. Her choice to love comforted Jesus as he made his final journey to Jerusalem. Her choice to love was imitated by Jesus himself when he washed his own disciples' feet in his final days. Her choice to love, to anoint the feet of Jesus, became the symbol of authentic discipleship. We too can choose to love and be present to others in the face of loss and uncertainty. And when we do this, we embody resurrection hope. It doesn't have to be a dramatic gesture. In ways large and small, we can push back against the power of death and despair and hopelessness. We can live into a vision of a life of faith that declares against all odds that death does not have the final say. Not in a way that is a form of denial or that offers easy answers, but in a way that embodies love and presence to those around us in times of suffering. Mary refused to let cynicism and fear define who she was. So can we. Walking alongside one another, we can point to the hope that no one is beyond Christ's reach, and that in whatever we face in life, His love and presence will always be with us.